Welcome to the Wildly Balanced Podcast.
Wildly Balanced is your weekly permission slip to bring more fun and wildness into your work-life balance.
Join us every week for our favorite tips on how to have more fun, shift your mindset, and let your wild side flow.
Welcome back to the Wildly Balanced Podcast. Today we are here with a super special guest and fellow Canadian, which I love. I don't see a lot of, feel like I'm just surrounded by the Americans in the online world. So it's really cool seeing like Canadians thriving. Yeah. Today we're joined with Susan. She is a human design reader, mentor, and guide who is passionate about demystifying human design and guiding people through their deconditioning journey to align with their highest self. Ooh. Thanks so much for being here, Susan.
Thanks for having me.
It's so good. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are, what you do, what you're passionate about, what you're balancing? All the things.
Oh, man. Balancing all the things. I am, first and foremost, I am a human. I am a mom. I am a partner. I am all the things. So balance is interesting in my life, right? I think we had to reschedule this a couple times because of balancing a baby. So yeah, but I am super duper duper into human design. I found human design probably 3 years ago, 2019-ish. And I've been kind of like, I found it, then I left it, and then I came back to it 3 years ago. And yeah, just been deep diving into it ever since. I feel like lately I've gone to other levels with it for sure. And yeah, it's very much been an evolution. So from a human design language perspective, I'm a 3-5 splenic projector, and I'm also a quad right. So if people know human design, they might know what that means. If not, we can get into it later. But yeah, finding that out was a huge shift for me. It sounds really like ridiculous, but it kind of changed everything. It was a big like permission slip. Like you talked about with kind of like permission slips like that. Finding out I was a projector, finding human design has been that for me. And yeah, so I'm super passionate about other people learning about it, guiding people through their deconditioning journey with human design and just diving deeper into human design with people. So yeah.
I love that we've already brought in permission slip. We're like 2 minutes into the episode.
It just happened.
So natural. I love it so much.
Yeah.
Amazing. Can you tell us a little bit more about, like, I know we talked a little bit before we started recording that you could talk about human design forever. I want to just let you be in your element and tell us what human design is for the listeners who have maybe never heard of it before.
So yeah, if you have never, ever, ever heard of human design, today is your lucky day. But also, so human design, it's kind of like astrology, but it's based on astrology, but it's so much more, like, I don't know. It's so hard to describe, like, what is human design? It is this amazing system that what we use it for, like in the human design aspect, it gives us a blueprint for how we are like made and best meant to function in the world and kind of use our body and go through life. So I sometimes say like it's like a blueprint of how you're designed to function. Human design was like channeled. A lot of people don't know, it turns them off, but I feel like dig into your human design before you are a naysayer about it. But yeah, it was like a channeled, the voice came to Ra, who is the founder of human design, and gave him all of this knowledge. And the thing for me initially, I was kind of like, oh, that seems a little interesting. Like maybe somebody was doing a little too many drugs in Ibiza, but then I like learned about my human design chart, pulled a bunch of charts for friends and family members. And I was like, there are too many coincidences for this to not kind of be real, be true, be correct. And I don't really believe in coincidences. So here we are.
There's no such thing as coincidences. Mm-hmm. Things are meant to happen. That's so good. That's so interesting. And I love how it's like based on astrology, but it's different. And like, I've never really looked into human design that much, but just before this episode, Susan was, for me and Jill, she like asked what our human design, like what birth details were so you could look into it. And she sent like 15 different voice messages of like our human design type, mine specifically right now. And I listened to like two or three of them. And I was like, does this did this bitch like creep my Instagram? Was she like in my emails? Like, how does she know? Because like literally two messages and I'm like, did we grow up together? Like, how do you know all that?
Totally. And that's the thing that's super neat about human design is that when you get a reading, like I heard someone say today, like it just feels like a breath of fresh air, and or feels like someone putting their hand on your shoulder and be like, it's gonna be okay. Like it really, they're like, you are meant to function like this. There's nothing wrong with you. Like it's just this almost like reassurance that I think a lot of people find in human design. And it is that thing where it's like, does this person know all my inner thoughts and everything about me? Like that's how I felt too. And I was like, how did they know? That is exactly me. Like all of those things. And I've had clients say too, they're like, oh my God, that is me. That's exactly me. I'm like, I know. It's in your human design.
That's so good. I know I've heard a little bit about human design, but it's been from like friends or like past clients kind of thing. And it's like, oh, you're part of me, I guess, was always skeptical of like, oh, you're just saying that because you know me. But like, we know each other, but we don't know each other very well. Mm-hmm. Like we know each other on like a surface level. And I was like, okay, like literally two messages in. And I'm like, oh my God, what else is she going to say?
I love it. Yeah, it's definitely super neat. It's super cool. And like, yeah, also for me, like I think, and for everyone, it like, we're going back to permission slips, but it is literally the point kind of behind human design is that we are all very, 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 very unique. And we are all meant to do life differently. And we're not meant to be the same. We're not meant to be the same. We're not supposed to speak the same. We're not meant to think the same. We're not meant to be all the exact same person, just a million different versions of one person. We're meant to be different. And so it's really human design, it like enables you to really embrace your unique gifts, your unique you-ness, and then go forth in the world and be you and not be this homogenized version that society is programming you to be.
Damn. That's so interesting. I find it so interesting too that it's based on like your birth chart and like the time you're born. Cause mm-hmm. I don't know if the listeners probably know, I've mentioned it enough times. I don't know if you know, but I have an identical twin. So like we were born at the same time. We were born like via C-section. So we were born a minute apart. And it's so interesting. Yeah.
So that is so interesting. And I did not know that. Actually, I think I knew that, but then I forgot. But so my sister, her husband, so my brother-in-law is also an identical twin, but he won't get me his birth time. But
the audacity.
I know. But he has an identical twin, same thing. And they're different people. And so I've thought about this from a human design perspective and from a human design lens. And I've kind of like asked this to my mentors as well. And it's like, so how do you have two people with potentially almost very identical charts? If you're truly born like a minute after each other, your charts would be very identical until we get down to like very deeper levels. And even then they might still be exactly the same. But it's like how that comes out. So from a human design perspective, like you can have a defined heart center, like a defined ego. And then you can have someone else that also has a defined ego. And so there's varying levels of healthy and unhealthy versions of that. So just because you have like, so you could have the very similar design to someone, not necessarily be an identical twin, but there's people out there in the world that are probably born the same day as you, same minute as you, same hour, all of those things.
And I'm a November baby. I have lots of similar birthdays with people.
Yeah. And so there's always this like the conditioning. So part of the thing with human design is that we do go through a deconditioning process. And it's like how society, parents, family, people around us have pressured us to behave. And so, for instance, for me, I'm a projector, but before I found human design, I was raised by two generators and I was very conditioned by society, by my parents, by everyone to be the hardest working generator type you've ever seen. And so I'm a projector, but I wasn't acting like a projector. I wasn't like to be a projector living your design is totally different than be a projector that's totally conditioned, has lots of pressures being put on them and that society has kind of told them how they should act, who they should be, all of those things, and that they're living that out and they're really unhealthy in those aspects. So you could even like say have twins that are separated at birth and like raised, they will have similar attributes, but you could have like a healthy version of this and unhealthy version of it. So obviously, I think that's one of the things that like people are like, but what about twins? They're not the exact same person. And it's like, well, yeah, there's a nurture aspect here as well. Like there's the nature and then there's the nurture on top of it that is the conditioning and the programming and everything from society, the world, our parents, all that stuff. So,
ooh, that's so interesting. I have a friend a couple of years ago who was like really into astrology, and I asked her like a similar question, and she said a lot of it too was like, there you kind of like brain dump or word dump like a bunch of stuff, and it's like obviously things are gonna hit different and things are gonna be like more true, you know, and things are gonna like I'm gonna relate more to some things than others too.
Well, and one of the things about human design is that it's that I do like is that there is like this scientific aspect. I don't want to like get super deep into like the origins of human design and all of the like, I guess, background foundational information of it. But it is based on like the I Ching and all sorts of other things, too. There's a ton of things that are like the hexagram structure, like all sorts of things, but also at the core of human design is like physics and talking about like neutrinos. And it's basically like, it's like we talk about in astrology sometimes, like the moon can affect the tides. Don't you think it can affect you as well? Like that type of thing. But it's basically, that's a very simplified version of it. But we're getting, there are particles flowing through the universe. And so part of that programming of like your human design is like the neutrino stream from the sun the minute you were born. That's a huge aspect. So like, not to get super detailed on it, but that's a huge aspect of your human design body graph is like the sun. The sun gives you like 70% of your personality, per se, of your human design body graph. Because the sun is right there. The sun is huge and it's sending neutrinos. It's sending particles and energy out through the universe. And that's kind of partially how we get all this information and how all those things are. Like we're all interconnected. It's a giant universe, particles and energy everywhere. We're all energy and matter. Like, so yeah.
Whoa. So woo, yet also so scientific. And I love it.
That's the thing. It's like ultimately, and I've been like getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Ultimately, it's not very woo and it's a lot more scientific. There's like, but I'm not a physics person. There's like all sorts of physics stuff. And like, I don't even know. There's things.
That's so interesting. I'm curious how you kind of like started in human design. You said you like kind of fell into it and then like got off track and then like came back into it. I'm curious like what kind of sparked it all.
Well, I think so many things. So I think with when I first kind of like found human design, I was more into the like the woo kind of spirituality stuff. And I was really deep diving into astrology and I kind of found astrology. And then I was like, oh, like natal charts, blah, blah, blah. Look at all this. Like, isn't this really neat? And like transits of the planets. And I was really deep diving into astrology, learning more about astrology. And I had heard about human design, like back earlier was like, you're a projector. What does that mean? And I remember when I first heard about human design, because there's the five different types. And there's one of them's called a manifestor. And I was super into manifestation when I found it. And so when I found it, I was a projector and then I wasn't a manifestor. Like I didn't understand any of it, but I was like, oh, I want to be a manifestor because I want to manifest things. Sounds really
stupid. Like a punch to the gut. You're like, what do you mean I'm not a manifestor?
I was like, I want to manifest things because I'm into manifestation, but that was a while ago. And so like, and then I kind of like dismissed it. And then so I kind of deep dove into astrology and then I came back around to it. And then I think I just kind of learned about it and then just kind of deep dove into it more and more and more. And the more like I looked at charts, the more I like was just Googling things, the more I was learning about it. I was like, this resonates so hard. And like even more than my natal chart, like no offense to astrology, but like the human design is like this giant universe and astrology is like the sun. Like I kind of feel like comparison wise, there's so much more to human design. There may be more to astrology, but
This episode's not about astrology. Yeah. It's human design.
Yeah. So human design is this giant expansive thing that's just crazy. And more and more and more I get into it, it's like, I knew that I didn't know all of it, but now I'm like, I really don't know all of it. Like, there's so much here. But anyway, sorry. So going backtracking, how I got into human design was I was kind of like the astrology path, found human design. And then I was kind of in this spiritual awakening, like Saturn, like post Saturn return, figuring out my life, really. And so I like got a divorce and like all of these things. Like I just kind of like blew up my life all at once. And then kind of found human design at the same time. I was kind of trying to switch things up. I was like doing the QCA, like the coaching academy. I was learning about coaching. I was learning about human design. I did a human design, like a reader training in human design, and like a year long reader training in human design. And then I kind of just kept deep diving from there. But yeah, it's been a process.
A year long reading training. I mean, that's what he said. I'm like, damn, she qualified.
Yeah. So and so like I came out of that and I was like, I don't know anything. And like I was like, or I was maybe like, oh, I know things about gates and channels. And then I came out of there, if you know human design, you're like, yeah, gates and channels. I was like, I know things about gates and channels, and I can do this, and I can do like a reading. And then I came out of there and I was like, oh, like I'm really interested in variable, which is another aspect of human design. So I started learning about that myself. And then I was like, wait a minute, like I'm really interested in learning about all these other aspects. And then I like opened a can of worms and I was like, oh my gosh, like if I thought that I knew what I was talking about before, I had no idea. So even since like we had booked this thing, I've had this like shattering. I think it's like a shattering. Like I've had this next level, like quantum leaping shattering, realizing that like previously I thought I knew what I was talking about. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much more here, which is fun and scary at the same time.
Damn, what perfect timing then. Mm-hmm. That we had to keep pushing this back from all the reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. Wow. I am like the most clueless when it comes to human design. So this is all like mind blowing. Yeah. And I love it so much. It's I have one client who's really into human design, and part of like the hiring process where she was like, okay, give me the birth details. I need to know for like everyone on her team of like how we communicate, especially too, is like something she needs to know and what she can kind of expect from us. And I think it's so interesting.
Totally. And it's also like, I think something from like a basic level human design that it's like helpful. It's everyone knows, like not everyone is going to deep dive into human design, and that's totally fine. It's not meant for like everyone. But I do think that like the basics level. So the basic level I mean with from human design is like, so learning your type. So there's like projectors, manifestors, reflectors, manifesting generators and generators. And then, so you're learning your type. And when you learn your type, you're going to learn your strategy. So it's some version of waiting, like waiting to respond, waiting for the invitation, waiting for the urge to initiate, or then, then, so there's like this waiting for like, what kind of waiting? Do we need a formal invitation because we're a projector? Do we need to just respond to something that comes into our environment because we're a generator? Are we going to initiate more because we're like a pure manifester? All of those things will really help. Like I find listening to your strategy and kind of your strategy being one of those waiting things, and really helps to limit like the roadblocks that you run into. Or if you're a manifester, it helps you move them out of the way. And then there's this inner authority. And so I think like, so strategy and authority are the two biggest, most important pieces of human design, that if you never, ever, ever learn anything more about human design, learning your strategy and learning your inner, what your inner authority is, are things you can just take that and run with it, and you never need to learn anything else. And so your inner authority is how to make decisions, and especially big decisions. And my favorite thing about this, because our world is so in our head, mental pros and cons list, like let's overthink about everything. And in human design, your head is never your authority. Your mind, your ego, as you call it in the spiritual community, that's never your authority. Your inner authority is like in your body, except for certain types. There are like a bunch of different inner authorities. But if you have sometimes like an emotional inner authority, it's because you're an emotional being and you need to kind of wait things out. These are people that should not be doing things spontaneously. These are people that need to say, like, so if you were an emotional and your boss was giving you a project or saying, hey, like, Carly, can you do this project for me? And you had emotional authority, you should be like, oh, like, can I sleep on it and get back to you tomorrow? Or if you want to buy a house, don't buy it in the moment. Like, don't go to the house, be so excited in the house and buy it in the moment. That's not correct for you. It's very correct for emotional authorities to wait things out, see the highs and lows of their emotional wave, kind of wait for some sort of neutrality, wait for some clarity, and then make a decision. And that even applies to, like, do you want to go to this concert? Do you want to go to all these things? Like, all of that stuff, you kind of need to wait it out if you're an emotional authority. And 50% of the world is an emotional authority.
Oh, damn, so, that's a lot.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people that are making very spontaneous decisions and making decisions in the moment. And that's really not correct for them. Like, I've done a bunch of readings, obviously, for people with emotional authority. And we kind of laugh about, like I said, about the house thing. I had a client that said that she's like, oh, yeah, I bought my house. Like, I was in it. I was feeling the high. I was so excited about this house. My realtor was like, you need to make an offer right now. She's like, I was feeling so good about it. She's like, and then the next day I woke up and I was like, oh my God, what did I do? She's like, my house is nice. It's not that nice.
Oh no.
I know. It's like, oh my God, such a big decision. And then I have another friend that's an emotional authority and she's like, I return so much stuff. Like buying things in the mall, you're spontaneously shopping, you're feeling good. Buying all the stuff, you get home and you're like, I do not like that shirt. I do not like those shoes. She says she returns stuff all the time, which is so correct for her. Like, either wait it out, put it on hold, or make sure they have a good return policy.
This episode of the Wildly Balanced podcast is sponsored by the How to Hire and Utilize a VA in Your Business Masterclass. Are you ready to hire a VA for your ever-growing business but not sure how? In this in-depth masterclass, I'm going to teach you everything you need to know about hiring a VA in your business. What is a VA? Where's the best place to find a VA? Why should you hire a VA? How to outsource with ease. In this 45-minute masterclass, you will walk away with a potent, juicy list of tasks that you can outsource today. How amazing is that? Get this bad boy for only $22. Visit the link in our show notes or go to carlyitaco.podia.com to learn more. That's carlyitaco, CarlyItaco, .podia, .podia.com to learn more. That's so interesting. I follow a lot of like money mindset. Like we had Charlotte on here the other day. She's like a money mindset coach. And I feel like that would be like, you know, budgeting's not working. It's because your human design isn't good with budgeting. You just have to wait a day.
Yeah. Yeah, so totally. Or like you should, it's not correct for you to be spontaneous. And true. So you really need to be aware of that. Yeah. That's my favorite thing about human design is it just brings awareness. So you can like be aware of all of the stuff as you move through life. And then there's a lot of other inner authorities like the splenic and the sacral inner authorities are very spontaneous and they're very in the moment. And with sacral, you get like a yes, no, very gut response in the moment. Or when people ask you questions, you can feel into that. I'm like, what's your gut instinct on this? Splenic is kind of it tends to be more like shying, like pulling you away from things that are dangerous. Like a lot of splenic authority people, and I have splenic authority, it's more protecting you from danger. Our spleen center, it's very instinctive. It's very primal. And so it protects you from things. So often like I've had huge like splenic hits where it's like, this is bad. Something's wrong. And I don't necessarily know, but it's like, I get this intuitive whisper of like, no, this is bad. Don't do that. Don't do this. Or this is wrong over here. Or something bad's happening. Versus the spleen doesn't necessarily give you that same yes, no that the sacral center does. So, and then there's a bunch of different, there's all sorts of different inner authorities. There's like mental, there's self-projected projectors, there's ego authority. Reflectors have a lunar authority. So reflectors are only 1% of the population and they don't have any centers defined in their chart. And their strategy is to wait 28 days to make a decision and wait for like a full lunar cycle. Reflectors are very interesting and they're like different.
That's so like, interesting.
Yeah. So there's all sorts of like neat, like little things in design. Like definitely. Yeah. Like I said, I could talk for hours and hours and hours.
That's so interesting. I really can't wait to listen to like the rest of these voice messages because I'm like, oh my God, is that me? What am I? Like the awareness is going to be so good. No, you said I'm looking at the message.
Sacral.
I'm a 4-6 sacral generator with split definition.
Mm-hmm.
If any of the human design people want to know.
Yeah.
Everything you need to know about me right there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really neat. And like there's like not like levels to human design, but like you don't need to, when you first step into human design, you don't need to, there's going to be a lot of people like first lines that are like, I want to understand everything about this, but you don't necessarily like need to because it is a huge system. There's a lot here. So there's like almost levels. It's like, okay, like find out what type you are, find out what your inner authority is, like find out these things. And then you can like progress to like, which centers do I have defined? Like, and which ones do I have undefined? And like, what does that mean? And then it's like gates, like, okay, what gates do I have? And then next, like, okay, what channels do I have activated? And then often as a beginner, you kind of need someone to come in and help you pull that together, concisely analyze your chart. Because what I found when I was first, it was like Googling things. I'm like, okay, I'm a projector. So like, this means this. And then I'm a 3-5. So this means this. And I have splenic authority and I have defined this and I have defined this and all these things. But then it's like, but what does that mean together? Like, what does a 3-5 splenic projector look like? Because a 3-5 splenic projector looks different than a 5-1 splenic projector, looks different than a 3-5 sacral generator, looks different than a 3-5 splenic manifester. Like there's those, they like fit together like little puzzle piees. And so sometimes, and what I found and what I, so third lines, trial and error things, and I have done this myself, so that's why I'm telling you. But I kind of like tried to piece it all together and I couldn't get that full beautiful picture. And so that's often where it's time to like get a reading and pull it together to be like, this is you in this, I don't want to say box, but like, this is the gift wrapped human design for you. Like I've concisely articulated all of it and put it together. And like, what does this mean when you squish it together as a human?
Totally. I wanted to talk about that too, of like the perks of hiring someone to read your design. Cause I know like, I'm sure you can Google it. And like you were saying, you've spent 3 years like Googling it and learning how to like read it. But it just sounds like a lot. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you could definitely like fall down the rabbit hole.
Yes. And so one thing that is good and bad about human design. So this is like the tea on human design.
Coming in so, with those unpopular opinions.
Yeah, coming in with those unpopular opinions. So human design is, so the system was like in the mind given to Ra. And it's like he was given all of this information and then he put that into words and papers. And like there's, and like, so the source of human design is Ra. Who has died. So Ra is deceased. So like all of these papers, there's like lectures, there's all sorts of stuff. And he started like the International Human Design School. And so there is this bit of a, like, they own all the like original source material is how best to say it. I've not thought this through. So I'm trying to like, how to not get in trouble. You're doing great. Trying to be like unpopular opinions, but like don't say too much. Don't offend everyone. Don't get in a ton of trouble.
Don't at specific people.
Yeah. But so there is this in the human design community, people talk about there is this like firewall of like it's hard to access source material. And by hard to access, I mean it costs money. Like it costs money to order the books, to order the International Human Design School, like the actual true source material that Raw channeled, wrote. He's like the original understander of human design. And so what that's kind of led to, especially with human design gaining popularity with the younger generation, like Raw, when he died, was like 58, 59 or something like that when he died. And that was quite a few years ago. So the people that have learned from him, like are in their 60s. They're not, some are great, but they're not all up on the Instagram and how to use YouTube and all this stuff. So there is this kind of gap, generational gap within human design a little bit. And so what that's led to is a lot of people taking human design and altering it to make it more palatable to the masses, to make the language easier to understand. And the problem with that is that there is like potent, like there's potent energy in the language. Like the language is the way it is for a reason. Yeah. So there is this kind of in the human design community, there is like this, and I kind of said, like, I'm not necessarily a purist, but I'm source-based in my learning. Source being that I prefer the original as opposed to something that, because a lot of people have like taken, they've spun it off, and sometimes what happens, unfortunately, especially in Instagram land, is that, and like social media land, is that the understanding isn't 100% there. And so the understanding is not 100% there. So then someone thinks they understand and they learn something and then they change it and they twist it and then they throw it out to the Instagram world. And by then it's lost a lot of potency and it's lost a lot of the original meaning and actual true correct information. So, yeah.
Interesting. That's so true. The thing that just came up to me is like, mm-hmm. if you're playing a game of telephone, it's like how absurd is like the final sentence based on the first sentence. And that's what happens when people don't, it's just one big game of telephone.
That is the best analogy because it's true, because there's a lot of people that are like, oh my God, I can't think of the word, but they're like first, like they learned directly from Raw. And then it's like, there's people that learn directly.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Like the people learned from them. And then there's people that learn directly from them. And it's like, what level of distance are you away from the original source? And sometimes it gets, the problem sometimes is you get like 5 degrees separation of the original. And then you get that person teaching a course to like 50 people or more. And then those people teaching a course to things. So it can get watered down.
Totally.
And then and or twisted to be completely incorrect, if we're honest.
Totally.
But
that's so true.
That's my unpopular opinion. But in certain areas of human design, that's a very popular opinion. So it depends who you ask.
Fair enough. That's so interesting. Yeah, I imagine it would get like very watered down and very like, kind of take what like relates to you and what resonates with you and then like teach that as if it's everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. And so that in terms of like, I forget if you asked the question, but I feel like you asked a question a while back about like getting a reading. So, and I talked about this on my Instagram the other day. I've had three or four readings, just like standalone readings throughout my entire journey. A couple of them were terrible. A couple of them were really good.
Oh, damn.
So it's hard because when I came into human design, this is like going back to this, I didn't know what I didn't. No, I didn't know who knew what they were talking about. I didn't know that there was this watered down, like changed version of human design. And I didn't know that there was the more source version of human design. And sometimes like, and not to say that all of those are wrong, like some of those could be helpful. You could get a reading from someone who's in the more changing the words, the language to be more palatable. And that might be really helpful for you. So it's not to say that that still might not be helpful, but there is a potential that it could be the opposite of helpful. So yeah, I guess I would just say, like, I third lined it and I got a million different readings from a million different people, and some were good and some were bad, and I just kept trucking along. And I guess I would say, like, use your discernment, kind of like, just because someone has a ton of followers on Instagram doesn't necessarily mean they're the best. Doesn't necessarily mean they know what they're talking about either.
Yeah.
So there is that. Like, use your discernment. Like, if they have like content that rings true for them, or if you just really get the feel that they like do know what they're talking about, definitely don't drop like hundreds of thousands of dollars on these things. Like, definitely, because that can happen.
Oh, damn.
But yeah.
Yeah, true.
Not hundreds of thousands, but like, don't drop $500 on a reading just because you think someone's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's too much.
Fair. Yeah. That's the line. That's the limit. That's so fair. That's so interesting. This has been such a good conversation. I really want you, feel free to like not answer if you don't want to talk about her.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious about, because you said you're a new mom.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Googling human design and like looking into the human design charts, like just before she was born, being like, what's she gonna be? Being like, I'm gonna hold off for another day.
Well, I like plotted it out and I told my partner, I'm like, okay, if she comes like the 23rd, she was born on the 27th of July last year. She's like a year and a bit now. And I had plotted it out. I'm like, okay, if she comes between the 23rd and the 27th or 28th, I think, she's going to be a projector. She comes after that, she's going to be a generator. And my partner's a generator and I'm a projector. So I'm like, which one are we going to get? Like, what kind of human are we going to get? And it's funny because I did the same thing. My sister's having a baby imminently. Like, she's due like next week or something.
Congrats.
Yeah, I'm excited to be an auntie again. Second time. But yeah, so she like had some like false labor, but I was like, okay, if the baby's born in the next 12 hours, like, what are we looking at here? Like, but
that's, it's just so good.
Like, habit. And sometimes when I see people's birthdays, I'm like, oh, I wonder what they are.
I wonder what time of day you were born at.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so interesting. Do you find that knowing like your daughter's human design chart like helped, you know, in the early years of like knowing kind of like what she wanted?
Yeah, totally. I feel like, so Ra talks about like, so a lot of times, like as adults, we have to decondition. We have to like unlearn all of the like things that put on us, all the like trauma, all this stuff. We have so much crap to deal with when we find human design when we're 30 or 25 or 45. There's a lot to get rid of. So there's this like 7-year deconditioning process, because it takes forever to like let all that go and really kind of step into things. But with kids, I think like something really important that I've really been trying to do is like, if you raise them correctly, according to their design, they don't need to decondition when they're older. They don't need to unlearn the bad habits, the programming, all this stuff of society later on. And so like, and I know there's like a lot of people doing this without the knowledge of human design. They're like, we should raise them to be like unique individuals and like honor how they're born and what they're born to be. But yeah, human design is like crucial in parenting. Like, I think it's given me so much reassurance, because like being a new mom, I'm like I have an emotional projector child, and she's emotional. And she's like very emotional. I said to my friend, we were talking about raising emotional kids. They're my human design friends. We were talking about raising emotional kids versus non-emotionals, and raising an emotional child as a non-emotional adult, which is me. And so like 50% of the population is emotionally defined and 50% isn't. And so really the non-emotionals are riding the emotional waves of half the population. And so it's fun, but it's been helpful to be even to my partner and be like, sometimes she's just gonna be in a bad mood, for no reason. Like sometimes she's going to be emotional just because that's where she's at in her wave. Some days are going to be good. Some days are going to be like a little bit not so good. And that's just, it is what it is. Instead of like trying to find meaning in everything, trying to be like, and we're trying to stop it. I think also like if she's upset and emotional as she grows too, like she's only one in a bit now, but as she grows up, not forcing her to stop her emotional process because it's uncomfortable for the adults in her life, like allowing her to be emotional and release and be upset if she wants to be upset and cope with that in healthy coping ways and to grow up with a healthy emotional system instead of like most of society. A lot of my friends that are emotional beings in human design say it's like been this really big unlearning process, and they realized that growing up they had to hide their emotions from their parents or other adults because as a child their emotions were uncomfortable for adults and they could tell. So then they kind of stifled their emotions and they stifled all those things. And it's like, how beautiful would it be if we raised a generation of children that didn't need to do that, didn't need to unlearn all of those things.
Damn. I don't even want kids, but that whole part like was giving me chills. I'm like, oh my God, that's so true. That's so beautiful.
Yeah. Parenting, like I haven't, like there is these big aspects of parenting, like there were like all this information about parenting and design and about how to parent and design and all these things. There's business aspects to design. There's relationship aspects. There's all sorts of stuff in human design. Parenting is like one of those things I definitely need to dive in. And it was even just, but the awareness, I think human design brings awareness and being aware of her design and how she's meant to function and how she does function will help me like better support her growing up.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Wow. I like that, like I obviously don't want kids and like don't plan on having kids, but also like this kind of reflects into like partnership too. Like,
yeah,
my partner's the same way of like, he, like if I'm upset, he's like, okay, we need to stop it. Like, why are you upset? Tell me why. And it's, you know, it gets to the point where I'm like, I don't really know. I'm just kind of upset to be upset. And he's like, no, there needs to be a reason.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, I need to learn his human design so that I can like know what he's going through, you know, or like what he needs in moments.
Yeah. And it's because there is so, like I kind of mentioned before, but there's like healthy and unhealthy versions. So like I have a mentor who's, he is defined emotionally. So he's an emotional projector. And, but he has a lot of awareness and is a fairly healthy emotional system to be around. And so like he's regulated and it's like, oh, that's what that's like. But there's so many people that are either that are unhealthy in their emotional solar plexus, which is the one of the centers in human design. So the solar plexus. So, yeah, I could talk for hours just about the solar plexus.
Damn, I love this so much. I feel like this has been such a beautiful conversation and so informative, too. Like I literally went in being like, I don't know. I've heard of human design, but I have no idea like what I am. So this is so interesting.
Yeah. Well, and I hope that I'm doing it justice. I find with human design, it's like, okay, what is human design? It's like, okay, well, how long do you have? Like we could chat for hours and hours and hours and hours. And you still would be like, I just got a preliminary basic understanding of what human design is. And so sometimes I feel like I'm missing things or all sorts of stuff, but
that's okay. I mean, this is 3 years in the making for you of like going hard, learning about it. And this has been like, what, a 40-minute episode so far?
Yeah. Well, and I also feel like it's been, like I said, like recently I had this like shattering, very like, I don't know, pivotal point in my deconditioning process in my human design experience and journey and all these things. And it's like how I talked about human design even 3 months ago is like so much different than how I talk about it now and how I like understand it now and all these things. But yeah, it's almost like this, like we broke through the ceiling in this level and it's like, yeah, I don't know if that makes sense.
Wow. When Jill comes back to the podcast, I definitely think we should have you on again to see like where your human design journey is then.
Yeah, totally. Like, it's definitely an evolution. I will. Yeah. Like, even it's hard, even like just for my Instagram and stuff. It's like, I feel like there's always sometimes like, I feel like time's moving so quickly that it's like, I don't even resonate with the post I put out like a week ago. Like, my goodness, like things are happening so fast. But yeah, so we'll
see. Totally.
It's fun.
I love it so much. Well, every single episode, we have to ask what your permission slip is. So I'm going to give you the little hint right now because I don't like to just stick it on you. So I'll give my permission slip and you can kind of think about yours.
Okay.
So my permission slip this week is to finish the human design reading that you gave me on Instagram and just like lean into it and just whatever it says to kind of like do some more research and like look into it. Because I feel like it's going to be very like eye-opening of like, oh, that makes so much sense. Literally like 2 messages in. They're like 1 minute video clips. So like 2 minutes into it. And you said about, like you said it earlier on the podcast too, about like waiting. And I think my human design type is like, I like to wait. And in my communication skills, especially like as a virtual assistant, if I'm like giving, because a lot of my clients I give like updates to of like, these are the tasks I've been working on. And I very much like to wait until I have like a list done. So I'll wait and then I'll be like, this is everything that's finished.
Yeah. And well, so, yeah. So like you as sacral generator, you wait to respond. And so sometimes, and so as a random side note, our society is like conditioned that everyone should initiate everything. Like you should initiate all the time, go out there and get it and blah, 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 all of those things. But it's very much like, generators are waiting to respond. And so you can respond to so many different things, but often it might be like you can wait to respond to your client sending you a message being like, hey, where we're at, and be like, oh, well, this is where we're at. We're doing all these things. Or you could respond by your client being like, hey, I really need this thing. And then you're like, okay, I'm responding to that. And I would like to create this for you and let me go do it. So yeah. Whereas like projectors need that more of that like invitation, like a bit more of a, not formal, but a bit more of a like, hey, I see you. You're really good at creating websites. Could you create me a website? Blah, 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 blah. A bit more of a formal thing, but yeah.
So interesting. I think as an entrepreneur, especially, that it'll be like super valuable to know of like how you run your business too.
Yeah, totally. And there's like, and I think, yeah, like even just to know yourself and then know like how you're in your business. I have a friend who she teaches some like human design courses and she is an emotional authority. And she's like, I wasn't ready to offer another round of this course. She's like, I needed to wait for emotional clarity on this. And she's like, and as an entrepreneur, do I know when that's going to come? No. Are there a bunch of people in my inbox asking me when the next course is going to launch? Yeah, but I need to honor the fact that I need clarity on this before I can go ahead. And so when you know those things about yourself, it's so much easier to be in flow with it, hold those boundaries, tell people I don't know, like, and just own that.
That's so good. That's so good. I feel like that's a good like permission slip too of like, there's not one way to run a business. And especially if you're, you know, you can't follow because there's so many like coaches out there and people out there who are like, do this exact script and like sign on millions of dollars. And it's like, no, that will work for you, your, you know, marketing type, your human design. But we are very different.
Totally. It's so like so relevant to all of those things because I see those people and I'm like, oh, yeah, you're a generator. And that works for you. Like, and that's cool because that works for generators. But if you're telling a projector to do something the way that a generator does things, it's not going to work for them. Or it might work temporarily, but in the end, they're going to burn out or something, all of those things. When you're doing things not correct to your type, it might work for a little while, but it's not going to work for the long haul because you're operating against your operating system. You're operating in a way that you're not supposed to. So, yeah.
Oof, what a great permission slip.
Yeah, speaking and I think Steve, even just like the permission slip to like be you and be unique. And if human design helps you find how that what that looks like and how that is for you and how that works for you, like, that's awesome. But just be you and do things your way.
Mm-hmm. So good. Is that your permission slip this week? Or is that more for the audience, for the listeners?
Oh, I think that's more for the audience. I guess, like, mine's to, like, be me and do things my unique way. And I think that's what I've come to with my design and with my business and all those things. I really stepped away from hustle culture, stepped away from do. You have to have an offer like this. You have to do this. You have to do these things. You have to post on Instagram every day. You have to blah, blah, blah. No, I'm a projector. That's not going to work. I'm a quad, right? That's not going to work for me. That's not how I do things. So I'm doing things my way. And yeah.
Yes.
It's an experiment.
I love it so much. I feel like that's like the whole premise here of Wildly Balanced that we've kind of been like honing in on, because this is like the 36th episode that we've done.
Oh, nice.
Which is super exciting. And just getting more and more into like our values of like unapologetically doing whatever the fuck you want.
That's, yeah,
like the slogan of Wildly Balanced.
I love it. Yeah. And I feel like that's, and if human design helps you do that, then awesome. I love it because it's helped me. So
yeah, that's so beautiful. This has been such an amazing episode. I'm sure all of our listeners would like to know where we can find you online, how we can work with you. Tell us what you're promoting.
So what am I even promoting right now? I am in a bit of a, like I said, I had a shattering and I deleted all my offers. So I kind of went through this like mutation and was like, oh, none of these are aligned right now. So, but I am coming out with some new stuff, like new offers for human design. I do readings. So I do human design readings. The best way to find me is on Instagram. And in that shattering, I changed my Instagram name. So now mine is HD with Susan. So at HD with Susan on Instagram. Lots of stuff is coming. There'll be fun stuff being released. And I do have some really fun, what I'm excited about. I've been thinking about it for months and months and months, but some kind of more introductory to human design offers where I actually like guide you instead of, because sometimes for me readings, you just blah at someone for an hour. And do they really take it in? Does it help them? Whereas I'd rather like get in there, let's hold hands and do it together. So something fun along those lines is coming. And then there is always the human design readings as well, if you're interested.
Amazing. We'll have that all linked in the show notes, but be sure to follow her on Instagram for all the updates.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much. This was such a fun episode.
Yeah. I hope it was helpful. I hope it was informative.
Yeah.
If you guys have questions, like, reach out to me on Instagram. That's where I hang out.
Amazing. And while you're there, follow us on Instagram at wildly.balanced. We do some fun stuff there. And check out our website, wildlybalancedpodcast.com. See you next week.